Thank you. A lovely little carol. So, and that features in the middle part of the training band piece. Was it the meeting of the carolers? The meeting of the carolers. I don't think our grandson, who is 3 and a half, has quite got the true understanding of what happens at Christmas. He's met Santa, and Santa asked him what he wanted for Christmas. Much to his mother's relief, he said a car, which is what she'd got him. The trouble is, he's since seen Santa another 2 times, so he's expecting 3 cars. The sense of anticipation is building. The schools have finally broken up. And to borrow the words of Kermit the Frog in his incarnation as Charles Dickens, there's something in the air. Something in the air. The world is at her best, you know, when people love and care. The promise of excitement is one the night will keep. After all, there's only 3 more sleeps till Christmas. 'Tis a season to be jolly and joyous. With a burst of pleasure, we feel it all right. It's a season when the saints can employ us to spread the news about peace and keeping love alive. There's something in the wind today that's good for everyone. Yes, faith is in our hearts today. We're shining like the sun. And everyone can feel it, the feelings running deep. After all, there's only 3 more sleeps till Christmas. Words amended to fit today. It's actually only there's 1 more sleep till Christmas because it's Christmas Eve in the movie. In our Bible reading, there were about 9 months to go till Christmas, the very first Christmas. The Jewish New Year is usually sometime in September. So when Luke says in verse 26 that the angel came in the 6th month, it would actually be February or March in our calendar. For Mary, it had started out just an ordinary day that was about to take the most extraordinary turn. I wonder what Mary was feeling that morning. She was a young girl engaged to be married. The future was probably looking bright. The excitement of planning a wedding. Though I guess as a bride in a Jewish wedding, Mary was probably a lot less involved than a bride in a Christian wedding. I don't expect she had to plan dress fittings, choose what her bridesmaids would wear, where the marriage feast would take place, and she certainly wouldn't have gone to any food tastings. The future must have looked good. Her betrothed, Joseph, would have had a steady job as a carpenter, making furniture, baby cribs, perhaps mangers, crosses even. An early day who do you think you are would have discovered that Joseph was a descendant of King David. Their home was going to be in Nazareth, the little village in Galilee where Mary lived. Just an ordinary girl. An ordinary couple living their lives at that time. Do you find that God often breaks into the ordinary everyday living of your life? Something catches your eye. The sunrise, a glorious sunset, a beautiful flower, a smile, a letter, a card, a phone call. And God makes his presence felt. But an angel? No wonder Mary was greatly troubled, or as the Message puts it, thoroughly shaken. The Message translates Gabriel's greeting in this way: "Good morning. You're beautiful with God's beauty. Beautiful inside and out. God be with you." Perhaps we all ought to pin up that greeting somewhere where we can see it first thing in the morning. What a difference it would make to our daily routine to remind ourselves that each one of us is beautiful with God's beauty and that He makes us beautiful inside and out. Mary's not sure what the angel is going to say next. What could be the reason for such a greeting? And the angel continues, "Mary, you have nothing to fear. God has a surprise for you." A surprise? Can anything have prepared Mary for what came next? "You will become pregnant and give birth to a son and call his name Jesus." But how can that possibly be? Mary has never slept with a man. Does she worry what people might think or say? What about Joseph? What will he think? Do all those hopes and excitement that she was feeling vanished? Did she find herself left with just shattered dreams? What does the angel mean? "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Highest hover over you. The child you bring to birth will be called Holy, Son of God." This could take some explaining. The angel has further news. Mary's relative Elizabeth, a lady much older than Mary herself, who has never had any family, she too is expecting a child, a son, and she is already 6 months pregnant. For with God, even the impossible is possible. Mary, to her credit, takes it all on board. "Yes, I see it all now. I'm the Lord's maid, ready to serve. Let it be with me just as you say." Could I have said yes so willingly? How do we respond when we hear God's voice calling? Sorry, I turned over too many pages. How do we respond when we hear God's voice calling? Some words of General John Gowans came to mind. "I have no secrets unknown to you, no special graces, talents are few." Perhaps if we always felt fully equipped for what God asks, we would do it in our own strength, rather than being fully reliant on God. What had Mary to offer but herself and her faith? "Yet your intention I would fulfill. You know I love you. Ask what you will." God asked, and Mary responded and gave. But what were the repercussions of Mary's yes? What did Joseph make of his fiancée's pregnancy? He didn't at first know it was the work of the Holy Spirit. But he was a man of integrity and noble. He determined to take care of things quietly, to call off the engagement, but without any fuss, so that Mary would not be disgraced. To do anything publicly could or would have left Mary at the mercy of the religious authorities, and more than likely a stoning. But this gentleman wanted to spare Mary that. He too was open to God's leading. And as he tried to figure out exactly what to do, God's angel spoke to him as well in a dream. Mary had not betrayed him. Yes, she was pregnant, but it was by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph was urged to go ahead with the marriage. And this would bring the prophet Isaiah's embryonic sermon, quoted in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, but found in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, it would bring that embryonic sermon to full term. Watch for this. A virgin will get pregnant, bear a son. They will name him Emmanuel. God is with us. I don't know if it was a straightforward pregnancy, but around the time the baby was due, there was just another small matter of a trip to Bethlehem. Not a holiday. A Roman census was called, and they had to travel to Joseph's hometown to register. The prophets had said that the Messiah would come from Bethlehem, and now the Romans were making this possible. It was a journey of over 70 miles on rough tracks and dirt roads. Even if there was a donkey involved, it wouldn't have come with built-in suspension. What fears did Mary face now? Since the angel came, it seemed that everything had changed. The only certain thing was the child that moved within, on the road that would not end, winding down to Bethlehem, so far from home. Chris Eaton and Amy Grant expressed it in these words: I have travelled many moonless nights, cold and weary with a babe inside, and I wonder what I've done. Holy Father, you have come and chosen me now to carry your son. I am waiting in a silent prayer. I am frightened by the load I bear. In a world as cold as stone, must I walk this path alone? Be with me now. Do you wonder as you watch my face if a wiser one should have had my place? But I offer all I am for the mercy of your plan. Help me to be strong. Breath of heaven, hold me together. Be forever near me, breath of heaven. Breath of heaven, lighten my darkness. Pour over me your holiness, for you are holy. Somehow they completed the journey to a town filled to overflowing with travellers, a number of people making their way to Bethlehem. And the town is so full, there is no room available. The only available space, a humble stable. No palace, no sparkling clean birthing unit, just a stable and a manger full of hay for a crib. Was this really how God had intended it? Yes, I think it probably was. His son was to be born in a strange town, a place bustling with people, where Mary and Joseph couldn't find anywhere to stay, the implication being that they weren't wanted. There was no comfort. That is how God wanted his son born, so that all people, even those on the edges of society, considered foreigners, living in poverty without a proper roof over their head, could identify with this tiny baby's start to life. The light of the world coming into the darkness of earth that night, in those conditions, soon to be visited by shepherds who saw angels while they were out in the fields, shepherds leaving their sheep to come in search of the one who was to become the Lamb of God. And wise men too came, we read in Matthew, bringing their gifts to come and worship. And Mary pondered all that had happened and held it in her heart. I finish with a quote from Lyndall Bywater. When writing about the Christmas story, she said, "I reckon Mary and Joseph would tell you to put your trust in God, because his hopes and dreams for you will always be a million times more fulfilling than anything you could ever have planned for yourself, even if it means a treacherous journey, even if it means stepping outside our comfort zone, if it means finding ourselves in need, in want. God's hopes and dreams for each one of us will always be a million times more fulfilling than anything we could ever plan for ourselves. Let's pray together.